five was really tough.
I don't know. It's going to be tough.
No, Josanna, we'll do fine because she just makes fun of me. Look, Kevin's sitting at the big people's table. It's time to get ready for Passover. We celebrate Passover this year, April 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's when we start. That's when we do the crucifixion description. There are two Passovers described in the scriptures or described in the history. One is the Passover here to come out of Egypt. And let's just read it real quickly. In chapter 12, verse 1 of Exodus, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of the Lord shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with its pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remaineth of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover." If there are any burdens, if you have anything left to do, if there's any feeling of obligation, if you have any thing that you think should change, then you have to eat the Passover in haste. It's as if you are, because the time will end. Boom. If you are as Christ with the disciples, you eat it at rest, because you know you're already in the New Jerusalem, and you're eating it to celebrate the mystery of what he has already done. And so, again, this thing about obligations and burdens and trials and tribulations, and if you have any of those things, and you eat the Passover in haste, your staff in hand, your feet shod. Now, how do you eat it? How did Christ and his disciples eat it? They ate it at rest. They were lying on pillows because they were in the New Jerusalem. They saw the finishedness. They were celebrating a finished work, where if you still have burdens, if you still have something to do, if you still think something's going on, if you don't know it's finished, if you got to change something about yourself, if you have any judgments, if you haven't forgiven everything, then you eat it with staff in hand, with feet shodden. Why? Because you're ready to leave all of those issues of the world. If you're in the New Jerusalem, then you eat it at rest. You see the difference? So if you haven't yet been apprehended by the finished work, then this is the time. And it's the beginning of months. It's the beginning of time to you. Because Passover is the parable of the Passover is what it means to be born again. Because everything starts anew. But you're there to leave everything. There's 97-pound hailstones falling. There's firstborn dying. You don't want to be a part of that anymore. And it has nothing to do with anything else. It doesn't have anything to do with any condition you're in. It doesn't have anything to do with any relationship. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. You're taking your staff in hand, your feet shod, and you're ready to leave at that instant. On the other hand, if those of you who know you're in the rest, who know you're in the New Jerusalem, who know you're seated on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem, and you eat it in total rest. Now, when it talks about the great cloud of witnesses that is surrounding us, that great cloud of witnesses, I promise you, are eating it in rest. And really, you gotta be so singular that you see that nothing else is going on in the world. You have a few days now to either rid of the burdens or get ready to leave everything behind. Can you see that as a predicate for Passover? Now, again, the gift of God is eternal life. So if you know you're on the mercy seat, then you're already in eternity. You're already there. You've been apprehended. You're at rest. You need nothing. So you eat it in rest and joy. Happiness and joy and peace are the dominant themes of Passover. Even if you're all screwed up. Now, there's no how-tos here. There's no cycle babble. It's the facing that the world is on fire. God didn't. The 10 plagues had nothing to do with God punishing Pharaoh or God punishing Egypt. That had nothing to do with anything, even though it destroyed a kingdom. The only reason God did that, sent the plagues, was because his people had adopted the value systems of Egypt. If you've adopted the value systems of Egypt, then you're a fool. If you haven't given up all the value systems of the world, which is really, I want more, or I'm doing something for self-realization, then you better eat this with staff in hand, because it may be time may end while we're eating it. There's no in between. It's not negotiable. Doesn't matter what you think about. Nobody cared. Can you imagine being in Egypt, 97-pound hailstones, and people are passing out tracts? Smile, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Or here's a how-to. Here's what I do. It's how to have a better family life. And you're hit with a plague of darkness. It's just goofy. All of our how-tos, all of your wanting things to change, all of your obligations, or what did I call it last night?
Obligatoriness.
Obligatoriness. We're not going to use that. That'd be embarrassing. So, the only question is, are you ready to celebrate Passover as a finished work? And you're seated with him in the heavenlies, on the mercy seat, in the New Jerusalem. You're totally at rest. You've been perfected by one offering, that all things exist for your sake. Oh, are you back here? And oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and this is bothering me, and I'm depressed about that, and oh, poor me. So, where are you? Everything in the scriptures is location of sphere. Which arena are you in? If you're trying to improve the arena of time and space, look around. It can't be improved. If you're ready to get out, then this is a celebration for that. Remember, from God's perspective, Passover is the betrothal. And under the Jewish law, betrothal and marriage were really synonymous. And Pentecost is the empowerment, the cleansing. And Tabernacles is the wedding supper. But it's not waiting for anything to happen. But your mind, you know, if you believe your mind, there's always something to do. There's something that I need to fix or something that I need to do. I need to address this. I need to I need to get well. I need to, whatever it is, you know, it's infinite. Anybody have any response?
Yes. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but I have. I'm sitting and having had it exposed that you're hopeless, finished, done. And what you expect to hear is get out of here, or you're dead, or you're guilty, or you're going to be hanged, or whatever it is. You expect what you deserve. And instead, what you hear is a change in tone and, okay, this is what we're going to do. As opposed to you're dead. And that's the way I heard this very first verse that we read this morning. That this giving by God of these are the months, this is the year, this is what you're going to do, that struck me as the totality of God's mercy. That rather than in that moment destroying Israel, he said, here's what we're going to do. This is so you can see. This is, I'm giving you space within which to repent.
If you believe Paul, it wasn't really for so they could see, it was so you could see. Hey, all these things happen unto Israel. It was a pattern or a parable for what is going on with you. If you want to keep, you know, learning how to do something or fixing your life or having a nice little happy childhood or whatever you want to do, fixing your little inner child, you know, go do it.
I you guys probably know who Steve Ferrar is. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It doesn't matter, but anyway, I was invited to hear him speak, and he actually reminded me of what you're talking about. It was kind of refreshing to hear someone not to be on prosperity teaching. He goes, it's kind of what you're saying. He said, this is what it reminded me of. He goes, everyone says, you know, you can fix yourself and look deep down inside of yourself and all this. He goes, when I look deep down inside of myself, he goes, it's like swimming in a septic tank, you know. There is no good in me when I look deep down. You were talking about soul the other day. That's, you know, fix myself. Fix myself looking deep down inside of myself. I used, you know, it's crazy.
It's just boring.
Yeah.
Be within yourself.
And this is what I think it means to me. And this is... this is how I interpret that. Nobody cares. It's either over or it's not. If you don't think it's over, then you better eat the Passover with staff in hand and your feet shod. And remember in Jesus' Passover, you couldn't wear any shoes. You have to leave your shoes outside because he would arrive at the place that you're going to. Every place your foot touches is holy ground, not because of you, but because of who you contain.
And even taking your shoes off wasn't the end of it. They had their people.
But if you please, you've got to, this is your chance. Where are you? If you don't know that by one offering you've been perfected forever, we got to have a special Seder just for those that want to have their staff in hand, shoes, feet shodden, and eating it in haste. But we're not going to do that. That'd be kind of silly. Somebody would make a liturgy out of it. Now, this thing about the word here, it says, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house. It's, this is the mystery. It's the mystery of God is that each one of us are the temple of the living God. But in the economy of God, from the very beginning, I'm waiting for Gary.
I'm listening.
Doesn't matter whether it was, you know, with Sodom and Gomorrah or here or when they got in farther into the wilderness. It was segregated into these groups, a small group, because of why? Why? What's going on? Why did he do that? He could have had a But it had to be, first of all, notice that every person had to kill the lamb. So when the question is, who did the Jews kill Christ or did the Romans? No, you did, I did. Because we had to. And it was, and then there had to be, and there was 250,000 lambs killed, according to Josephus, at the Passover that where Christ was crucified. And then there was at least 10 to 20 people that ate the Passover. That was just the males. So there's estimates that there were 6 million people that had come back to Jerusalem for the Jubilee year to get their land back. And so now, but they still, they did the same thing as they did here. They separated. They only had 10 to 20 people because it was the number of people that could eat the lamb, and everyone would be sated, full, and there would be nothing left in the morning. That hasn't changed. So when you have, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of people trying to eat a lamb, you don't even get, you hardly get a taste. And that defined the size of the Seder, or the minion, from that time forevermore. And that's why Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We think of that word. It means there are many minions, or many Seders, or many places of abiding. And so the whole mystery of God is that it's not about me or you. The mystery of God is about us, but that us has a new identity. It's the bride of Christ. And so you've spent your whole life trying to fix you, trying for you to be something, it's just, can't you see that that's over? You get deceived every 5 seconds, you get some harebrained idea that makes you excited, or you get some harebrained idea that makes you depressed. Ronnie was depressed about the rain yesterday. And I told him what the word rain in Hebrew meant, revelation. I said, that's what you're really depressed about, because God's not letting you have your way. Because I don't know about you, but I know that my way is stupid. So again, this Passover, Are you ready for the Passover of Jerusalem, where you eat it at rest, at total peace and joy and happiness? With all leaven removed, no more seeing lack, no more hypocrisy, it's total vulnerability, no more coping, no more truces, you just be. Or are you going to be better eat it with staff in hand if you're not there? If you have any resentment against anyone or anything, if you haven't forgiven from the heart everyone their trespasses, including your own, you better get the staff in hand and the shoes shodden. Or the feet shodden, I mean. Because you got to leave in haste. In a split second, you've got to leave time. It's said of these feasts, the word feast just means in Hebrew the set time of the Lord. It's said that you shall keep them forever throughout all of your generations. Because why? Because they are such a perfect picture of the life and work of Jesus Christ. But more, the life and work of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. Just let it slice through all of your BS and all of your little trips. And
it's grace that those two Passovers are even presented to us.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to excuse yourself out of it. Because, you know, the way you presented it this morning, I was like, get out of that, wherever you are.
Struck by this place where they have to, the whole assembly kills the Passover. Just the mechanics of people about this number participating in the murder and desecration of a little lamb.
Well, in Hebrew, it's even worse. You have to see each one of us individually killed it. It wasn't even a corporate killing. You killed it. Me, I killed it. When it says Christ died for your sin, yeah, he died, you killed him. Every time you think you have something to do, you're pounding the crown of thorns deeper into his skull. Or every time you're thinking. Oh, and go on and on. If you think you got someplace to go, you're pounding the nail into his feet. If you think you got something to do, you're pounding the nail into his hands. Whole world lieth in deception. You've got to see. That includes you and I. That's why we don't give any breath. We owe our mind and our opinions nothing. We owe our feelings nothing. Anybody else? Everybody understand by perfect clarity?
No.
What don't you understand?
Probably everything, but I have a tendency to take everything, think about it, and then come back later and ask questions. You know, if there's a test later.
There's no test. The test is the end of time. All righty, take it, big guy.